Peace be with you. Today, we will move on to Acts chapter 8 on the story of Simon. And from this person, Simon, it brings about this term in church history known as Simonin. And that is referring to the purchase and the sale of ecclesiastical office, meaning using money to buy the ecclesiastical office. And so, from the beginning of Acts chapter 8, because of the martyrdom of Stephen, the church has been greatly persecuted. And then the disciples were scattered to Judea and Samaria. And Deacon Philip went to the city of Samaria to preach Christ. And God used miracles and signs to follow His servant. And so many people believe in the Christ preached by Simon. And so one of them who seemed to have believed is Simon. And who is Simon? So before Simon, you know, before Philip went to Samaria, Simon had been in the city. And he had practiced sorcery in the city, boasting that he was someone great. So people were amazed and following Simon. And later on, when Philip brought about such revival to the city of Samaria, and so when the apostles in Jerusalem heard about the revival in Samaria, so the church in Jerusalem sent Peter and John to Samaria. And over in Samaria, the apostles laid hands on the believers, and amazingly, the Samaritans, they also received the Holy Spirit, which was the same as the believers in Jerusalem. And so this is a clear evidence proving that they received the same grace of salvation. And so when Philip saw this, he was greatly astonished. And so he offered money to the apostles to ask to be given such authority, such that whoever I lay my hands upon, they will also receive the Holy Spirit. And of course, this brought about Peter's great rebuke, because Simon thought that this office and the gift related to this office can be purchased by money. And so this act was known as simony in church history, and that is the buying and selling of ecclesiastical office. And so when similar actions appear where people want to buy the holy or sacred office of the church with money, especially in the dark ages, the church office were often given to people who are wealthy instead of people who are righteous and good and who fear God. And so this action is simony, is a repetition of simony. And so in the entire church history, it repeatedly happens. And so churches in the dark ages, when they were greatly fallen, God raised up the Reformation movement to correct the wrong perception and management of the church. So this is something which was not taught by, this was not something not taught by God's word. But this happens because of human sin and human fallenness and human weakness. And so, in the history of the church, simony appeared in different forms. So basically, they try to abuse money or attempt to use money to purchase sacred office. And so in the church, usually those who can buy, those who wanted to buy sacred office with money, their hearts were not right. So they tried to use money to attain the office, because within that office, it comes with certain power. It will receive human recognition and the ability to make decisions. So the elders and leaders and committee members in the church, if they give in to such people's power, and allow them to be the leaders, this will be utter corruption. And such corrupted culture will prevail into the entire church. And so all these corrupted people, if they became the leaders of the church and received the sacred office, or if they had the power to make decisions for the church, then they will bring about the corrupted practice of the church. Ultimately, it will lead to the unity of the church and the state. And so this is what we happened in the earlier times. That means the church totally compromise with the world and operate by the principles of the world. And if that's the case, the church is not seeking the praise of God, but the gains from the world. So who can be leaders in the church and who can make decisions? And who can use money? All this, we must be very careful. Because we must be very careful who can receive, who can be appointed to sacred office. So church government is very important. And so I will talk about this in reform training class. And so some people thought that reform training class are only reserved for those who are very knowledgeable. But that's not the case. Especially for this case, our current series, people who are concerned about church affairs, they will want to understand more. Of course, today's focus is on Simon. So let's ponder. So when Simon attempted to buy the sacred office from the apostles, we must understand how his life was. Such a person not only was greedy over money, and he believed in money, being able to do all things, so he tried his best to get money. But what's worse than this is he showed contempt toward the holy office. So only the apostles had the authority to lay hands on people where they will receive the Holy Spirit. So such a privilege and right was only given to the apostles. But yet people like Simon, he despised the sacred office and he thought that the Holy Spirit can be purchased with money. So we have to ask whether such a person truly believed. Because earlier on it was written that Simon believed and was baptized. But later on, the Bible also told us that this person didn't truly believe. So a person's faith can be concealed, or it can remain only at the intellectual level, or it's only full of knowledge. Or human faith could be a proactive acknowledgement to praise God, to show as if he's a Christian. So it's like he heard an evidence and he praised God, but in his heart he doesn't really know God and didn't have any relationship with God, and that is possible. So such a person didn't really hand over the sovereignty of his life to God, and so his false faith will be revealed slowly through temptations and trials. And so reportedly in the early church histories, it was recorded that someone's name was Simon Magus, and he appeared in early church history reports. And so he is one of the founders of the Gnostic heresy. And so some scholars mentioned that Simon Magus could likely be the Simon mentioned in Acts chapter 8. It's controversial, but what we can say is it is not surprising for people to enter into heresy. And this surely begins from the root of unbelief. Such a person, perhaps he can learn many truths in the church and he seems to be praising God, but the heart of unbelief will distort the truth that he has learned, and he will invent another gospel. So heresies all came forth from the church, and heresies also deviated from the pure word that the church preaches. And they created another gospel. And so that is heresy. So let's look at this person, Simon, and let's read Acts chapter 8. Verse 18. So last time we stopped at verse 17, and verse 17 says, Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So we explain the clear evidence of the Holy Spirit coming upon the Samaritans. And at verse 18, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. So we saw the wrong foundation of Simon's faith. So when we look at verse 18, what did Simon see? You ask, what has Simon been looking at all along? Why did he follow Philip? Why was he baptized? Is it because of the Christ that Philip was preaching? And as a result, he saw Christ? No, he only saw outward phenomenon. What he believed in is the manifestation of outward power. Because he believed in, not in God, but in a kind of power. Some people, they are attracted to some miracles. Because if someone prayed for them and they were healed, or their problems were resolved, and then they were happy. But they did not believe because of this. They must know God because of knowing God. Because such outward powers may not be manifested all the time. Because sometimes God may not do outward miracles. Sometimes in our troubles, He may give us inner endurance to go through the problem. So believers are all, so Simon has all along been attracted to outward phenomenon. Why did Simon practice sorcery? Because sorcery did offer external power. Perhaps he could heal people and he could tell fortunes for people and he could gain monetary benefits. And so when he saw Philip brought about greater miracles than him, so he kept following Philip. But he's not following the Christ that Philip preached, but he's following the power that Philip manifested. So later on, when he saw the apostles and they laid hands on people and Holy Spirit was given, so he was attracted. So he's not following God, but he's following power. So let us ponder. Today in the church, is it possible that many people are also following a kind of power? It's possible. So healing, deliverance, miracles, signs and wonders all attract many people. People wanted to see a kind of outward manifestation. Or they find it very amazing when people can stand, people who are sick, but they could stand up. But we must not be confined to all this. We have to ask. Because human hearts are very deceitful. Sometimes they may not be following power. They may be pursuing knowledge. He's following messages. This sermon or this messages online are very attractive, but yet they didn't want to come to church. Or some people, they follow certain pastors. So they are following different things. So in the church, there are a lot of attractive things. For example, music, praise and worship. This is very prevalent in church culture. So sometimes they didn't realize that they are following music or certain composers or certain band. So they keep pursuing all these things. And it is not right to just pursue all these things, because eventually he didn't discern whether he's following Christ. And as a result of that, it appears that he may be following Christ, but later on when he didn't get what he wants, he may give up on the Lord. So in the 30 years in church, I've seen many such cases. So humans may not discover their hidden state, whether they had indeed encountered God. So only when certain things happen, then they realize what kind of motives are they bringing before God. So human hearts are indeed deceitful. And on the other hand, when Simon wanted to purchase gifts with money, he is amazed by the fact that laying of hands bring about the Holy Spirit. And this tells us that Simon also treated the Holy Spirit as a form of power. He didn't treat the Holy Spirit as a person. But he just simply think that Holy Spirit is a form of power and authority which can be purchased. Or some people think that they can cultivate themselves to receive such power. So many people, they were confused about the Holy Spirit. Every time they think that Holy Spirit comes means miracles will happen, or they will feel very strangely, or they have to speak in tongues. But what is it? The Holy Spirit is greater than the entire universe. He is God. He is greater than all outward phenomena. And He reveals the outward phenomenon is for you to focus on the work of the Holy Spirit. But we must know that the Holy Spirit is greater than what we wanted. Holy Spirit is even greater than terminal illness being healed. So what is suffering? What is illness? If the Holy Spirit is with you, you'll be strengthened. But yet some people, they just like that kind of power. So humans' fallen heart will easily be attracted to outward phenomenon. Of course, today you asked, which Christian or preacher will say that Holy Spirit is a form of power and can be purchased by money? Of course, no one person will say this, but we have to ask. Today, if someone who is very rich, who comes to the church, and he said, please pray for me, I want to have blessing. But you know that he doesn't love the Lord, he doesn't follow the Lord, he doesn't have a foundation of faith, and he said, Lord, he said, Pastor, please pray for me that my business will prosper. Give me a form of peace. And this pastor, if didn't confirm or affirm his life and yet give him blessing, then that pastor has almost the same kind of spirit as Simon, because that person is rich. And so we will easily seek his favor of the rich person. So we who fear the Lord, we must truly act by God's righteousness. Now, Pastor visited Malaysia 2 or 3 times per month. It's a very tough shepherding process. And the most basic thing is the Malaysian churches need to be registered. And sometimes the registration process takes many months, and they didn't get the registration approved, and so it got stuck at certain government departments. We are not sure of the reason for the delay, but I told our co-workers, we must use the right methods. We must not use underhand means to get that registration. We can make phone calls to make inquiries from the department, but ultimately we must pray and wait and rely on the Lord. Then only by doing so, when we get the registration, then we can glorify God, because we know that this is what we achieve by the gracious hand of God. So sometimes we do not understand why certain believers, when they come to certain decisions concerning gains and benefits, sometimes in a certain culture, we will easily compromise. And so we must be careful. Of course, I'm not saying that if you abide by the law, then you are following the will of God. Now, if you go to China and you go and apply for this missionary permit, of course, you won't get that kind of permit. So many missionaries may secretly enter into that land to preach the gospel. So we have to understand some things. The Holy Spirit inside us will teach us. So we must understand what are the things that God is not pleased with, and we must shun those things. We must be careful. Now, let's look at verse 20. Peter answered. So Peter rebuked Simon, "May your money perish with you." So you and your money go to hell. It's so harsh to that extent. So may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Now, why did Peter rebuke Simon, that you will perish with your money? Because God's gift of redemption is by faith through grace. And we know this, but human hearts are inclined towards those with money, power, and status. Now you ask, how many people today are like Peter, who dare to rebuke in love? Now, we humans, we easily seek the favor of men. Sometimes we are afraid of confronting people. But of course, sometimes you need to speak in a tactful way, but certain important things you cannot avoid saying. So when we do that, it's not trying to prove that we are better or more righteous than someone else. I mean, we are all fallen. If God didn't protect us, or if we are not reminded by people, we may also fall because we are sinners. But we must be clear that we need to guard the purity of the church. So if necessary, we need to rebuild such actions or motives. Or if in this area we are also tempted, we must be reminded humbly. But over here, Peter said, Peter mentioned a very fundamental problem in the life of Simon. So it's not just his action of using money to buy the Holy Spirit, but here it mentioned that Simon's root problem was that his heart was not right, especially verse 21. Peter told Simon, "You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God." So there is this relationship between human heart and God's word. So when God's word is being preached, God's word of salvation, God's word of truth is being preached, why is it that certain people have no way to receive the word? Why is it that people cannot form a relationship with God through the word? Because the heart was not right. How do you know the heart is not right? So when we say heart is not right, means the heart is not inclined towards knowing God. All along is inclined toward the self and self-interest. So the heart is still very carnal and worldly, pursuing things of the earth, pursuing own benefits. So the moment God's noble truth is not in agreement with your own desire, your experiences, and your pursuits, then you would not be able to accept the word of God. So why is it that in the process of preaching the word, we must capture people's heart and surrender the heart to God. Because we know that our heart can deviate from God. Because sometimes when we have certain encounters, we will exalt that experience and deviate from God. And sometimes when we are weak, we tend to rely on the external things that we can see and sense, and we depend on our feelings. So Simon's heart was not right. He's not inclined towards God. He's not trying to submit to God, but submitting to himself. So you must look at your heart. So you have no part in God's word because your heart is not right. So people whose heart is not right, it's very easy for them to deviate from the right and invent another truth in following God. And that's why in the modern ages, prosperity, gospel, and hyper-grace ministries are very popular. And the preachers, they preach more and more ridiculous things, and they only proclaim, they bless, they lay hands. They didn't preach about struggling with the sin, carrying your own cross, and beat your body to discipline your body. And they only just teach about proclaiming certain verses and blessings will come upon you. And then they will try to say, oh, your blessings will come to your spirit, to your body, and then you'll be beautiful and wealthy. But you ask, why is it that so many people preach such messages, and why so many people accepted such word? Because their hearts are not right. In fact, God's word already has revealed, but when the heart is not right, people just distort the word of God. So all wrong teachings arise from a wrong heart. So Paul told Simon that you must watch your life and your doctrine, because you are the teacher, so you must watch your life and doctrine, and then you can save yourself and save your hearers. So we ourselves, we must be saved by the word of God. So if you are not reading the Bible, how can you be saved from your wrong teachings, wrong thinking? So after you hear the word, then you realize that that thought is wrong. It's just based on your feelings. So you must reject such thinking. So you have to watch your doctrine and your life. So if your heart is not right, then he will only pursue material things. And then from then on, their teachings will deviate, and they will start to teach what people love to hear and what is pleasing to people. In the end, they could not save themselves nor their hearers. So our pandemic is really unprecedented. It's a great turning point for the church and a great awakening. So that those who didn't watch their life and their doctrine, they are eliminated from the church. And those people who had not encountered God or met God through God's word, they will not want to come to church because their life is so comfortable and they just enjoy their Sunday on their own. So now, when I went to the airport, I was just thinking, how come so many people were in the airport? People are eagerly going to travel. Why would they want to come to church? So they have this travel vengeance. So in such a macro environment, our heart must be careful, must be clear. So we have to be very clear what is important and what is not so important. May God help us. Now, verse 22. Peter said, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps He will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. So you must be forgiven. I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. So it's like Peter has laser eyes, can see that Philip is full of bitterness. So some people, they are very miserable. They wanted to commit suicide. Some people, they cannot imitate the apostles, and so they go the wrong way. So let's look at Peter's rebuke. Now, Peter rebuked, and he's not merely rebuking, but he wants to drive out people's foolish hearts. But this rebuke meant to bring about repentance. No matter how evil a person is, when the gospel of God comes to a person, God is willing to give the person grace and calling the person to repentance. And so that's the motive for our rebuking of people. We are not to hurt the person's conscience to lift ourselves up. No, that's not the case. We must save people. We always give people chances. We want to bring them back. But then when you ask people to repent, you must point out their sins. If we only broadly ask people to repent, but they will be wondering what is there to repent. Because inside their hearts, people have departed from God. They are following their own desires. They have a lot of uncleanness. They are not inclined toward God, but they are gratifying themselves. And so this is hidden sin, but God's word reveals and exposes such sin. So when we talk about repentance, it's not like we are to imitate John Sung or certain pastors, but you must tell people exactly what are they to repent from, what are their sins. So Peter said, you must repent from your wickedness. You must repent because your motives is not right, but it's evil. It's not just repenting from the action of wanting to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit with money, but you must let people realize that you have been pursuing earthly things, and you are living in sin, you are bound by sin. What you like are the things that arise from your sinful nature, and this has no part with God's Word and with the Holy Spirit. So what Peter wanted to say is this: the focus of your soul must go back to God. When we talk about your heart, that is the central of your soul. So our emotions, our will, but in fact, it's talking about your heart. Your heart has departed from God, and your heart is not right. Your heart is sinful. So Peter pointed out the inner state of Simon. So when we talk about human sin, it's not just about actions. Some people just think about their good or bad actions, or they hide their actions. But in fact, it is the problem of their heart. So Peter said that you're in bitterness. Why did Peter say this? So sin often plunges people into sufferings and bitterness. Some people, they love money. Now, it's okay to have money, but when you love money, you will not have joy. How can you depend on materials to get satisfaction, to buy people's love? We don't even talk about buying the Holy Spirit. But buying people's love, even buying health, you cannot even buy that with money. So if you truly love and trust money, you will fall into sufferings and you'll be pierced with griefs. But if you are full of pride, you'll be very miserable. Because when people criticize you or correct you a little bit, you cannot take it. You'll be very self-defensive. You don't want to talk with people anymore because they are full of themselves. So you're in bitterness. And you can claim that you are very happy. And if you want to get power, so Peter can see that Simon wanted to get power, and so he's in bitterness. But in your bitterness, you should pursue God's presence. But if all you want is an outward power, then in fact, all you wanted was people can follow you. Many people can follow you after you receive the power. You want to exalt yourself. So if you want to pursue this, you are in bitterness. So do not think that the celebrities are so smart. And many people are following them. They perform in thousands of people. They perform before thousands of people in the stadium. And after going back to their hotel, they may fall into depression. Because when the attention gets away from them, it's a huge blow to them. So sometimes even preaching to a few hundred people, and people talk to me, Pastor. But after I go back to my room alone and I pray to God, and I jog, and I love the Lord in my heart, and I reflect many things. And when I do that, my heart is steady and joyful. And sometimes it's because of the demands of the ministries in order to preach the Word of God, to remove the folly in human hearts. Sometimes we have to be with people, but you look at Jesus, every time he spent his time with the crowd, he always want to get it back into solitude, to pray to God. Now, if you keep pursuing people's attention over time, you realize that as people age, you become one person. I'm with my co-workers for decades. Sometimes when their children are young, it's very noisy. But up to an age, it becomes more quiet. When in Malaysia, some people, they live to work in this place and that place. So I start to have a very strange sense of loneliness. And this is a reality. Everyone will go through this. So I told my co-worker, before my children grow up and leave me, I first leave them for missions. So I won't feel lonely. I don't know whether this is a joke or true words. So we must see that sin will give people problems. So today you may have a lot of anxiety and fears in you, but this is related to our selfish desires, and sometimes it arises because of our comparison with people. So do not let this kind of bitterness enter our hearts. So why do we feel the bitterness? Because you do not want the Lord, but you want what you want. So you feel bitter. Of course, I know Peter speak many things, but in one verse, you must think through people's situation, all kinds of teachings. You need to meditate on God's word day and night. And in the process of this, you know that every word of God will feed us. Now, verse 24, then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me. So some people ask whether Simon had repented. So he sounded like he has repented. I've read quite a number of commentaries, and they are all different. But my sense is he didn't really repent, because Simon didn't ask Peter to pray for him, for God to forgive him. But he's merely asking Peter to pray that whatever Peter said will not happen to him. So he's just afraid of a consequence, but he's not fearing God. He's not afraid of the God who will judge him in future. He's just afraid of bad situations coming upon him. So such a person did not really repent. And such a person will continue to live in fear, because there is no fear in love. So those who did not repent, they will keep living in fear. And so Simon did not repent. And let's look at verse 25. Let's read together. When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. So the apostles preached the gospel in Samaria, and especially we saw there's 1,000 years of enmity between the Jews and the Samaritans. And the apostles, maybe they are still having reservation about Samaritans believing the Lord, until they saw very clear evidence of the Holy Spirit also coming upon Samaritans, just as the Holy Spirit also come to the Jews. So when they saw this evidence, without hesitation, they quickly went to Samaria to preach the gospel. So there's no other accounts of going to the different villages of Samaria where people also receive the Holy Spirit. There's no extra accounts of this, because it's very clear already that the gospel has come to this people group and this nation. And so this is something we must note. And so we thank God. I'm just back from missions. So last week, almost every day I'm overseas. So I've been to Hong Kong to visit our co-workers. And so I encouraged them with the word of God. Last 2 days, I was in Penang. And later on, I'll be going to KL. But we kept seeing that Lord added to us the numbers of those who are safe. And I also carefully tell you this. Why must we reform back to the word of God? But when we talk about reforming, what is important is it's not just correcting our theology and intellectual. We must have the evidence of evangelism. So when our theology is reformed, at the same time, we must be able to bring the unbelievers before God. So we have to preach everywhere we go. Sometimes in the church, there could be reforming people. We can also bring seekers of the faith into the faith. So on this matter, the church must be having a balance. So if a church only focus on preaching a very simple gospel, but didn't preach the gospel deeply, then people only hear the word and be very happy, but you're not sure whether they truly believe. So we must go back to the Bible and clearly talk about the gospel. And you must talk about human sin and that salvation comes by faith through grace. And so we are with all kinds of people who are in suffering, and they may face very severe problems with their children and so on. So how do you... And those problems grip them, but how do you bring them out of those problems and to the Lord? So this is the unity of Reformation and the gospel. And so that's the aim of our church. We want to live out the life of Christ and spread the word so that people can can meet God through what we believe correctly about God. Of course, we have to learn in many areas, but may God help His church. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank You that today You once again encourage us with Your words. And we have seen Your great works in the book of Acts in the early churches. And many people want to weaken the gospel, or many people try to make others misunderstand the gospel. And all this happened in order to remind the later generations so that we know You are not to be treated with contempt. And in today's passage, we know that we must be careful. And many fruits also comes from us preaching the gospel You gave us, so that when we preach the gospel, those who truly belong to You will come to You one by one. So please bless this pulpit of the church and the labor of this church for Your sake. Please also remember everyone to be united to advance the gospel. Lord, we thank You and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.